Wow, what a powerful moment. Those are those chill bump moments, aren't they? The Word of God is proclaimed. I do want you to be praying, though, for the Short family. Many of you may know Daniel and Miranda Short. Madeline got sick over the weekend and has got, it's called ITP. That's the nice version that I can say. I'd ask Melanie to pronounce it. It's all these long words, and thrombosis is one of the words I know. The rest of them I don't know. But bottom line is her platelet count is severely low. Anna Foley had something similar to this a couple years ago. Not the same, but similar. And she's doing a little bit better this morning. She's got a long way to go. Not sure the full, complete diagnosis and what this is going to mean for her long term. But be praying for her. They're doing very well. And if you have a chance to drop her a text or a Facebook message, I know that will mean a lot to them. Let them know they'll be praying for them as well. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. We're going to look at one verse this morning and try to blow through very quickly some incredibly powerful truths that I think will be very helpful for you. I hope you are still journeying through. If you get behind, can I give you a word of encouragement? Start back with day 21 today. If you get behind, jump in with us. If you're coming today for the first time, you just got a book, then start with day 21 today. You can go back and grab the ones that you might have missed. If you missed a life group session, we'll have a group Wednesday night. You can grab the group, the session that you missed, and I encourage you, if you did, please do that. You are missing some incredibly important teaching, some great application and discussion time. And so that's why we do a Wednesday night group for those who teach on Sunday mornings, as well as for those who may have missed a Sunday morning due to various reasons they may not be able to be here. So make sure you take full advantage of this opportunity to read, to interact, to pray, to journal, and to see what the Lord is telling you as we walk through this study. We've talked about our spiritual health. We've talked about our physical health, and this morning we'll talk about our mental health, really thinking about this one thought to change your life by changing your mind. Look at this verse here, if you will, in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, from a little bit different translation. It says this, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world," here's the key verse, "but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Now listen to it from the New Living Translation. Interesting way to think about it. Listen to what it says here. It says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." How? How does that happen? Well, look what it says here. By changing the way that you think. Now, this is not some positive mental health thing, what you think. It's not about this health and wealth and all about thinking positively kind of deal. That's not what this is talking about. We want to take it much further than that, knowing and understanding the underlying truth is that the Holy Spirit of God is the one who allows us to think what we think, who allows us to have a mind and a soul and a heart and emotions and will and our physical, spiritual side, knowing all this depends on the Lord. But yet we find in this, we have a place and a part of this process. It doesn't, we just sit back and go, "Well, Lord, here's my brain." You know, I mean, there's a surrender of that, but there's a part that we have to play. And let me make this statement far in the very beginning of this. Here it is. God is far more interested in changing your mind, how you think, than he is than changing your circumstances. And we just sung that song, and some of you are thinking to yourselves, "Boy, I would love to change my circumstances right now. If I could change this, I would change this, this, and this." And we all have those moments. But listen, we want God to change our circumstances, take away our problems, our pain, our sorrow, our suffering, our sickness, and our sadness. And God says, "I know that's important, and I do want to see that happen in your life, but far more important than that is I want to work on you, what's happening inside of you in these moments that are difficult and hard and are those trial moments, those moments where the world and the sands of the world are shifting, and he wants us to learn about the inside of who we are." You see, when things are going well, we don't really find out a lot about who we are. But man, when things don't go so well, when things are difficult, we find out really what kind of foundation we really are standing on. And too oftentimes we're too careful. We're dabbling over into the sand. We've got one foot on the rock, Jesus, right? But sometimes we dab around the sand, and when the tough times come, if we're not on the rock, boy, they will take us out. And so God wants you to know this morning, though, and eventually that circumstance you're dealing with will pass. It will come to pass. Things will change in your life. But God is not going to change that maybe right away, right in this moment. But what he does promise is that I'm going to do something inside of you that is so marvelous and so great that that's more important. Why? Because it's dealing with our character. It's changing how we think. Now, think about this way, this question. Why must I manage my mind? Why do I need to think clearly, be very careful about what I think? Three very important reasons. And this statement would just kind of overview these three, but if there's no transformation taking place in our lives, then no change takes place in our mind. And that's what has to happen, a changing in the way that we think, a transformation process. So we're praying for God to transform us in our spiritual lives. We're praying for transformation. We're praying for transformation in our physical lives. We're praying for transformation now in how we think in our mental lives. Now, notice what it says. The first one is, because my thoughts control my life. Now, that's a pretty simple statement, but think about it for a moment. Every single action you do comes from a thought. Think about it. If you think something good, you're going to usually do something good. If you think something bad, then you're usually going to do something bad. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped, you might circle that word, shaped by your thoughts. Sometimes we don't realize how powerful our thoughts are. The Bible tells us that the power of our mind, our thoughts, have a tremendous ability to shape how we think and how we live our lives, whether good or bad. Some of you, I would think you to think about this for a moment. Some of you grew up in an environment where you were told you were worthless. You were told you were clumsy. You were told you were lazy. You were told you were dumb or stupid. You were told that you're ugly, that you don't matter. And if we're not careful, we get these tapes in our head that think in my mind, well, that must be who I am. Therefore, that's how I will act. That's who I will become. And sometimes we need to be careful and be reminded these thoughts then become feelings. And our feelings, though great, don't need to be what shapes your life. We'll talk about that in a few weeks and our will and how those work together. But let's talk about our thoughts. We see very clearly because our thoughts control our life. Secondly, think about this. Because the mind is the battleground for sin. Where you are and will win and lose the battle is found in how we think. We oftentimes think temptation is something out there. It is something that is external, something that happens to me. However, if we think about it this way, that's not really the case. Now, it might be something outside, but it tempts that which is inside of us, something that is attractive to us. When we talk about the sins of pride, the sins of lust or fear, resentment, envy, or worry, we talk about those kind of things. Think about it for a moment. Those are all things that start in your mind. Now, some of you, I know I can identify. I love this scripture because I can completely identify with this scripture. Romans chapter 7 says this. Look at what it says. You can see on the screens here and look in your Bible as well. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned. But, notice, there's something else deep within me that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin within me. In my mind, I want to be God's servant. But instead, I find myself enslaved to sin. Now, think about these words for a moment. You might circle them there on your outline. The word war, the word fight, the word slave, and the word enslaved. What does that tell us? It tells us that the thought process in our mind is a battleground. There is a battle that's going on in your brain. Sometimes it's why you're tired, mentally fatigued, because there's this battle that is constantly happening. And listen, our mind is one of our greatest assets, and Satan knows that. And so it is the one thing that he attacks more than anything else. Why? Because whatever you and I think about is what gets our attention. And whatever gets our attention will get you and I. So we see it is the battleground in our lives. We see that it's our thoughts control our life. Notice the third reason why we want to be certain to be careful about what we think about is because it is the key to peace and happiness. Now, the word happiness, I would substitute the word joy. I don't really like the word happiness. But the word joy would be a better word. The word happiness is based off our circumstances, and not always are our circumstances going to be what we want or what we like. But it's based off, if we know these things, what we think will help us. I mean, where do you get that from? Well, think about it for a moment. An unmanaged mind leads to tension. Yet a managed mind leads to tranquility or peace. An unmanaged mind leads to pressure, where a managed mind leads to peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict, where a managed mind leads to confidence. You can see these go all around. You just let our thoughts go all over everywhere. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says this, if your sinful nature controls your mind, notice the result, there is death. Good news, though. But But, and there is an opposite. There is a different way to live. If the Holy Spirit controls your mind, what does it say there? There is what? Life and what? Peace, right? Now think about that. That is a powerful word of Scripture. We'll have to come back to that in a moment. Three daily choices you and I can make. Right out of the Word of God that would help us think about how do we have a healthy mind. Some would say, well, preacher, I just can't control what I think. Well, you know what? I've got a Greek word. I've used it several times before. And I would tell myself this. The Greek word for that is, you ready for this? I've used it before. You ready? You know what it is? Baloney. All right? That's an excuse we like to make. Oh, I just can't help it. I can't help what I'm thinking. But think about this for a moment. The only person that can control your thoughts is you. What do you mean by that? Well, Satan cannot control your thoughts. He can suggest things. He would like to control your thoughts, but he can't. And listen, God won't control your thoughts either. Right? True, God gives us freedom of choice. God lets us think about things that we choose to think about. So that's our part to play. Now, God will give us the strength to think about the right things, but I have a part to play in that. And God's not controlling me, because if he controlled what I thought, what would that make me? I'd be a robot, wouldn't I, right? If God controlled everything that I thought, I'd be a robot. So God gives us that kind of freedom. Nobody's holding a gun to your head saying, well, you have to think this certain thought. It is your mind. It's your decision. You can make a change. Your thoughts and my thoughts are highly controllable. But what I've got to do is I've got to make some better choices in life. The three things we're going to talk about is how to free my mind, to feed my mind, how to free my mind, and how to focus my mind. So let's look at the first one. What are we feeding our mind with? I must feed my mind with the truth. I must feed my mind with the truth. Now, we all know about nutrition, right? What you put in has got to be good stuff, right? We've got a brand new baby at the house, so we're having to give her these certain things. I mean, God bless her. She had to have these green smashed up peas looking thing. And I just can't help it. I'm right there with her. She took about two bites and realized it wasn't oatmeal cereal she'd been eating before. And I should have had the video. It'd been great. The video of her face, it's like, you know, this little, you know, it's just this awful, like, what is this stuff? And guess what happens? No more of that. Don't want any more of the green stuff. It looks like snot. That's what it looks like. Let's just be honest. That's what most baby food looks like anyway, right? Now, I had some ice cream. I was having homemade ice cream the other day. I'm like, hey, you want some of this? But if she'd got a hold of that, hello, that would have been good stuff, right? But I'm hopefully a good dad, right? And so I did not give that to her, right? I'm thinking I'd rather have that than this mess over here, this green snot-looking stuff. I'd rather have the ice cream, right? But I know that's not what's best for her. In our own lives, nutritionally, we don't always take care of ourselves the way we should, but let's take it to a spiritual level for a moment. Let's think of it this way. What we put into our bodies, spiritually speaking, is incredibly important. That we can't feed our mind with junk, with poison, and expect to have a good thought life and to have a Christian life that's full of peace and joy. Why? Because we've been putting in the wrong stuff. If I put in the wrong stuff, it's going to come out somewhere. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You talked about in your life group. The different kind of things that you can put your mind on. What do we put our mind on? Matthew 4:4 says, people need more than the bread for life. They must feed on every word of God. What is our soul food? Here it is. Our soul food is the word of God. That's what it is. Now, you would say, well, what am I supposed to feed on that, preacher? Well, here's a great word. You ready for this one? This is good. This is free. This is deep. You ready for this? All the time. Now, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I'll think about it in the morning and at night. But in between, the rest of that's up for me, and I just kind of got to think on what I need to think on. No. The Bible says think on the Word of God all the time. David talked about it in Psalms three different places. Let me just blow through these real quickly and think about this. Psalm 119, verse 147 says, I rise early to cry out for help. Now, some of us, we rise, but it's not early, but we're crying out for help when we rise up because we've rose up too late, and we're late and behind. Right? Oh, Lord, help me get this, somehow get out the door on time, right? We don't rise up early. What does he say, though? And to put my hope in your words. What do we put our hope in the words in? The Bible, there are 7,000 promises in the Word of God. You want to change the way you think? Then start getting in the Word of God and start believing what the Bible says about you and about himself and about who he wants you to be and who you can be. And quit reading what the Bible, what the world says about you. Quit listening to what Satan's saying about you. Quit listening to what your family says about you. And start listening to what the God of the universe says about you. We tell that in our own family. in recent weeks. Listen, we get always concerned. We're looking around. Well, what is so-and-so going to think? What is my mom going to think? Or what are my friends going to think? Hey, good word. Who cares what they think? It's a matter of what God thinks about you. Good night. We listen to the world and we're worried and stressed. What's my boss going to think? What's my coworker going to think? What? We're just in a hot mess all the time because we're worried. Instead of filling our minds with what the Word of God says is true. Look at the next verse. Lord, how I love your word. I think about it all day long. Psalm 16:7 says, even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind. Wow. Now, how does that work for us today? Well, a lot of us here, good news. I don't have mine with me. My phone, a lot of you can download the Bible app, have it on your phone in 4,000 different translations. You can have it right there at your fingers. Read it on a break, at lunch, when you get stressed, when something's going to happen, you got to go into a meeting and you know it's not going to be good. And you think to yourself, what am I going to do? Well, get out the Word of God and read it. I'm going in for an evaluation tomorrow. I'm so nervous. Right? What do? All right, I got to think positive thoughts. Think positive thoughts. Oh, okay. No. Get out the Word of God and read it. And Jesus says, what is he saying to Apostle Paul? And we pray, Lord, and the peace of God will rule your heart and your mind, the peace that passes all understanding. That's just one example. Others that he gives you, you can read a little bit later. Notice number two. That's the first one. That's a quick one. Notice the second one. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. What is he talking about here? Well, our minds too often need to be liberated. We become a prisoner of our own thoughts. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. If you believe something in your life, it has affected your life and it has become truth to you. If somebody told you you were clumsy, you might even be clumsy. But research will tell us you'll eventually act clumsy. Why? Because that's what you think. Now, we've got to free our mind, and there's three enemies that are after us to keep us having negative thoughts, to be having destructive thoughts that will hurt us and harm us. Three things battling us. Number one, here are the enemies. Number one, the first enemy is my old nature. Romans 7:23 says, I see in my body a principle at war. What is that? The battle for your brain, for your thinking, with the law of my mind, taking captive to the law of sin that dwells inside of me. More war language here. Ever find yourself doing something that you didn't want to do, but you did it anyway? You're like Paul sometimes. You think, I'm going to do this, and I get on Sunday morning, and I'm like, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to do this and that and more, and then before the day is over, we've already walked off the path. And we think, what happened? Here's what happened. Our old nature. We engage in self-defeating behavior. I know it isn't good for me, but your old nature is not your friend, by the way. Romans 8:5 says, those who are dominated by their sinful nature, what does it say? Think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So what are you thinking about? Your old nature will be your enemy. Secondly, that's going to fight you is Satan himself. Remember, we said it earlier, Satan cannot control what you think. Why do we know that? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, talking about Satan. Now, he can make suggestions, and he will. And he's constantly trying to put negative thoughts in your mind. He'll use people. He'll use television. He'll use the internet. He'll use somebody to throw a thought in your mind. He does it when we're praying. He does it when I'm trying to prepare for messages, right? He'll do it all the time. Just drop a little bomb on you, right? Just somewhere in there. And if you got ADHD, like ADD like I do sometimes, good night. It's a hard thing to pray sometimes. But I can make the excuse, right? I heard this a while ago. Somebody did this a couple weeks ago. I was talking to some folks, and they're like, well, I'm ADD. All right. Well, so is half the world. I mean, good night. So am I. But that makes no excuse of what I can't do and can do, right? Amen? Now, it's a struggle. We can't help that we have it. I didn't ask for it. I wish I didn't have it. But I can't make it an excuse for all the things of what I can't do and why I can't do this or I can't do that. It means I have to learn to control my mind and rely on the Spirit of God to help me control my mind when I'm praying. But when I do pray and it's going to happen, I'm going to go off subject somewhere. I can't have a conversation, not go off subject. So why would I think praying is going to be any different? But it's a matter of controlling our minds and staying on task, staying on what God is calling us and calling me and you to do. If you will listen, this one truth, we will think about this. We automatically think, if we think it, it's got to be true. Can I tell you, that is not truth. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Stuff you think about yourself, about God, about church, about your husband or wife, about your life, the community, the government. Just because you think it doesn't mean that it is true. Well, here's the kicker. This is a great statement Rick Warren makes. If you get up in the morning and you don't meet the devil face on, that it means you'll be going the same direction he is the rest of the day. Whew, that's a powerful thought, isn't it? It's a war, folks. It's a battlefield. We think about this spiritual warfare that happens and takes place, and too often we're just lollipopping around like Princess Pollyanna. Have you ever seen that movie? That's a great word. We just live like Pollyanna, like everything's just great. It's not, and it won't be. You have to make some hard choices and decisions to decide, will I think about the right things? Satan tempts us. Other things, he gives examples here, just time doesn't allow us. The third enemy in the world is the value system, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Think about what the world says. In fact, just think about advertisements. What does it say? You deserve a... Oh, where? At McDonald's. They change it to have it your way right away, right? Mountain Dew, my favorite drink of all times. Here it is. You know what their slogan is? You know what their slogan is? You know what it is? Obey your thirst. I do every day. Every day. Right? But think about that for a moment, though. Think about that subliminal thought. Obey your thirst. What does that mean? Hey, if you're thirsty for that, go get it. And go get it. Don't wait for tomorrow. Go get it right now. Why wait and get it right now? It's the world's value system. 1 John 2:16 says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of this world. So how do you fight the battle? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this. Listen to what it says. Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Why? The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. We're talking about the mental battle here. Our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. You might circle that word. We demolish any argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And here's the important part. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There it is again, warfare language, a stronghold. What is a stronghold? It is something that a lie that we believe in our lives to be true. A lie we might believe is, well, God doesn't really love me. Or I know better than God knows what will make me happy. Or I should do what I want to do, not what God wants me to do, and that's going to make me happier. The world's false systems about philosophically or hedonistic views says, hey, do what you need to do when you need to do it, right? Or a personal attitude. I can never forgive myself. I'll never amount to anything. If something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. Right? Stronghold. It's a lie you're believing. Listen, behind every sin, this is the statement, is some lie that you are believing. Satan is a liar, and he will enslave us to keep us from living the abundant life and living in truth. Two phrases we notice in that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What is it? We take captive. It is the word literally means to conquer, to take under control. It was a word, a military word used to conquer a country. We have to conquer our mind. Again, can I do it in my own strength? Is it all within me? Oh, no. No, no. It's resting in the Lord, being dependent on the Lord, but then knowing I have a part to play. And then secondly, it says we make it obedient. Right? We make it obedient. How do we make our mind us? We bring it into submission. We take it captive. We make it obedient. Our minds will often rebel. We have the choice to make the decision. Will I listen to my mind or the negative thoughts, or will I listen to what God says is true? See, here's the kicker. We got to know how temptation works, and I got to hurry through this. But so just take notes, and there's so much more here. I would beg you and plead you, go to the website this week. There's tons more here that will be very beneficial to you. James chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Good verses to circle in your Bible, underline your Bible. Listen to what it says about temptation, how it works. Because this is where the negativity comes in our minds and our thoughts. Temptation comes from the lure of your own evil desires. These evil desires lead to evil actions, and then the evil actions lead to death. A lot of people say to me, and I've done it before too, probably, and I've said this, well, that just really caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting it. I do marriage counseling. Somebody said, well, it was just a one-night stand. I just can't believe that it happened. And I look at them and I'll say, well, let's go back and trace the steps. And come to find out, it was nothing that just like blew them out of the water. What happened? It had been a process that had been happening for months and years. Temptation is a process, not some isolated event. And there's four phases. Here they are quickly. Number one, temptation starts with a desire. Now, if you don't have a desire for something, it's not a temptation, okay, for you. Now, for me, as an example, I have never been tempted to smoke a cigarette. Why? Well, because I can't breathe. And my eyes water, and I can't see when I'm around cigarette smoke. So it's not like I think to myself, oh, I need to get a cigarette today. Why? Because it's not a temptation for me. It's not an issue for me, right? No problem for me. So it's something that is a temptation for me, but it's something that is a desire inside of me, a lure. It doesn't start out there. It starts in here, right? It doesn't start on TV. It doesn't start on the street corner. It starts inside your mind. So think about this for a moment. We all have natural desires, right? We have a natural desire to sleep. We have a natural desire for water. We have a natural desire for food, for sex, to succeed in life. These are all God-given normal drives. Notice these two things, what Satan does. Watch this. Don't miss this. Temptation turns a routine desire into a runaway desire. Okay? Watch this. It's not like Satan creates something brand new we never thought about. It's a normal, everyday thing that we do, but we take it and we elevate it to the point where it becomes more important than anything else. And anything, any desire we have that's out of control becomes destructive. Think about it. A fire in your fireplace is wonderful. A fire in a cooking stove is fantastic. But as our fireman of the year will tell you, in our church will tell you, fire, when it gets into a house, into a structure, into grass, what will happen? It becomes out of control and will destroy. Any gift that God gives us, we misuse. Sleep, sex, eating, whatever it is, those good desires, they mess up and they become abused. Often temptation, the second thing is a desire to fulfill a legitimate desire in an illegitimate way. So we see it. Number one, what is it? It is a desire. It starts with a desire. Number two, notice what happens. Temptation happens when we have doubt. Think about the Garden of Eden, right? What happens? The very first temptation. Doubt happens. Now, they're in their perfect environment. Think about it. No clothes and no kids. How much better could life be? I mean, really. How do you mess that up? How does it happen? That's going to get some of you in just a minute. Y'all going to get there in just a minute. It's okay. It's paradise. That's why it was paradise. So what does God do? I mean, what does Satan do? What does he say? Well, did God really say you couldn't eat of that tree? God knows if you eat of that tree, you'll be as smart as he is. What is he doing? Getting them to doubt that God really loved them, that God's rules were really for their benefit. Every time we give in a temptation, remember, we're believing a lot. We think we know better than God knows. So the desire begins. Satan places a doubt somewhere in our minds. The third step is deception. He replaces God's truth, what is this, with a lie, or I like to think of it this way, with a half-truth. He says, you won't die if you eat this. Half-truth, right? God didn't come and kill them. They didn't die physically, but they died what? Spiritually, right? God says you can eat of any tree except the one. What does Satan say? God says you can't eat of a bunch of stuff in the garden. There's that tree and a lot of others. Was that really what God said? Well, no. What does he do? He puts a lure out there. Some of you are fishermen. You understand what this looks like, a lure. Right? Only time I've ever thrown a hook in the water and ever not had to use a lure to catch fish. My grandfather, I guess, got tired of unhooking himself and stuff from trees and himself from hooks. And so he took us to a fish hatchery. You ever been one of those? I mean, I'm talking like the pond is like they're jumping out of the water. You can throw anything in the water and they'll bite it. It was the best. That's my way to fish, by the way, is a fish hatchery. I can do that. I'm 280D, so I like it. Every cast is a fish. I'm good to go with that. What do they use in there? Though you're out in the ocean, right? Use something that's shiny, that's sparkly, that's going to attract that fish. And notice the hook. Have you ever noticed anything about a fishing lure? Where's the hook? It's on the end or where else? Is it like you can see it or is it hidden? It's hidden, right? Now, I don't know how that fish knows. That fish looks at that hook and says, hey, thanks, but no thanks. But put that fish and that hook inside of that bait, and that fish is going to grab a hold of it. And before it's too late, they swallow the bait, and the hook is in them, and you set the hook. That's exactly what Satan does for you and I. And we sometimes act so shocked. I can't believe I fell that temptation. I just can't believe. Satan knows how to tempt you and I. He is not dumb. He knows our weaknesses, many of them. And here's what's so crazy in our mind. We think to ourselves, well, I know there's a hook there, but why am I still nibbling? We think in our minds, well, I'm an adult. I won't get hurt. I'll be careful. Right? Notice the step four. Look at it quickly. Disobedience. Or it becomes disobedience and defeat. We move from desire, it moves to doubt, it moves to deception, and now we make a decision to be disobedient, and then it leads to defeat. It becomes sin. My attention becomes an attitude. My attitude then becomes an action. People will say from time to time, what's the danger of a harmless fantasy? Are you kidding me? Listen to this. Listen to this statement. What I flirt with, I will fall for. That's a good statement. I wish it was original with me. It wasn't. Whatever I flirt with, I will fall for. So what do? I have to refocus my attention. The Bible says after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and the end result is death. You know why some of you are struggling in spiritual life? I'm going to tell you why. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to tell you why you're struggling. And you're living in defeat. It's because you continue to give in to temptation and don't put the right thoughts in your mind and don't feed on the Word of God when you make the wrong choices, when you put the wrong things in your mind. Lastly, and we're done. I must focus my mind on the right things. I must focus my mind on the right things. I got to think about three things. Number one, think about Jesus. Now, that sounds all cliche, and we go, oh, well, great preacher, that's really deep. I never thought about that before. Yeah, but how often do you think about Jesus in a day? Beyond when you're in a crisis, beyond when things are like up in arms, when do you think about Jesus in your day? Hebrews 12:3 says, think about Jesus' his example. He held on while wicked people were doing evil things to him, so do not get tired and stop trying. Think about Jesus and the Word of God. Secondly, think about others. Our world says, think about who? Yourself. Numero uno, think about you. If it helps anybody else, then wonderful. But you think about numero uno, take care of you, don't worry about anybody else. It's all about God and others. That's very anti-cultural. Hebrews 10:24, let us think about each other and help each other to show love and good deeds. And by the way, here's another plug for life groups. Some of you are going to roll your eyes and go, good night, here he goes again. You're right, I am. I'm going to plug it every time I have a chance. Here's why life groups are important. This is how we think differently. We do life together. We help each other. We love on each other. We encourage each other. We get up under each other's arms and help each other walk this life. Lastly, think about eternity. Think about eternity. There's more to life than just here and now. Colossians 3:2 says, we only think of, let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not only think about things down here on the earth. The King James says, set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Now, I've often said, we've heard this statement, he is so heavenly minded, he is no earthly good. You ever heard that statement made? They're in the clouds all the time, no earthly good. Let me tell you something. You know what? Really, probably the opposite is true. Only the heavenly minded people actually do any good. Because most of us, we're so earthly minded, we do no heavenly good. We're so into right here, right now, what's in front of our nose, what's immediate, what's tomorrow, what's Monday, and we forget about eternity, where we will spend the rest of our lives forever and ever and ever. And all of a sudden, when we think about forever and forever, Monday morning doesn't seem that big a deal anymore, does it? Bless you. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. All we think about is budgets and baseballs and bills and football. Are we thinking about Jesus? Are we thinking about others? And are we thinking about eternity? Here's the real question. Do you and I have, and are we willing to have, the mind of Christ? We read it in our life group material, our day 19, I think it was. We talked about the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Go ahead. The question is this: will you choose to have in your daily thought life the mind of Christ? It's not something that's going to happen to you accidentally. It's something that will happen to you when you make the choice to have the mind of Christ. Got it? Encourage you with these words this morning. We get ready for a time of invitation. Think about having the mind of Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, I pray that that will be the prayer of my heart, that I would have the mind of Christ. And too often I do not. Too often I have Brad's mind and Brad's thoughts and Brad's ways. Too often we give in to temptation, or we don't think the right thoughts. So Lord, I pray this morning that we would take captive and make obedient every thought. There are some in this room this morning, they are struggling deeply and mightily in their lives. And the reason is they're thinking the wrong things in their life. They're listening to what the world says. They're listening to what their friends and their family says. And Lord, they need to listen to what you say about them to be true. So Father, I pray that the truths that we've sung this morning, Father, the truths that we have listened about this morning would be true. And we would take them into account this morning. Lord, I pray for our time of invitation. Lord, for some this morning, they need to have the mind of Christ, period, because they never had him in their soul. And they need to admit that they're a sinner and believe that you are the Son of God. Confess their sins, commit to you as Savior, and commit their life to you as Lord for the rest of their days. And I pray they would have the courage to do that this morning. Maybe some have made the decision, but never made it public. You give them the courage to come this morning. For others, join this church family. So this is where God is calling us to be a part of the body of Christ here at Petal First Baptist. Lord, some others, just really, Lord, I need you to do a fresh work in my mind, in my thoughts. And maybe this altar be open for you this morning. And for other needs, maybe to pray for a lost friend or family member, maybe that struggle you raised your hand about earlier, maybe God would call you this altar and come before me and say, oh God, I need you to be my cornerstone. Father, whatever it is you're calling us to do, I pray we'll be obedient to the Spirit of God right here and right now. This is the most important moment of our time of worship. I pray no one would move except to move forward or to move where God is calling you to move, to pray with somebody, to ask somebody to pray over you, to come to this altar, to make a decision public. We would be obedient to do what you ask us to do. Lord, we bow our hearts, we bend our knees before you. Lord, do your work right now in Jesus' name. Amen.